Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Karskaden coming to you live from North Carolina on this beautiful Veterans Day. And we just want to take time at the start to honor those who have served for our freedoms and to protect this nation, not only in this hour currently, but in history's past, because without their sacrifice and their duty to serve and protect, we would not have the freedoms that we have today, and we would not be able to even be in this battle that we are in to defend our freedoms. So it is a blessing and an honor that those who have chosen to selflessly sacrifice their lives and put themselves in harm's way to be able to serve and protect so that we can have the freedoms that we have right now. All right. And I want to make sure, okay, answered somebody's question here. All right. Perfect. Okay. So today we want to continue on the storylines that we've been talking about in regards to the spending bill and the battle with inflation. And this is a narrative that we need to continue to pray for, because as long as people continue to ignore it and not understand the realities of it, and more so I'm speaking from a politician standpoint of view, because there are some politicians who just completely ignore that. And this is, we want to talk about some things, be aware of, in order to pray about for the days ahead. But first, we want to acknowledge that in New Jersey, the sitting Senate president has conceded his race to GOP challenger Edward Durr, who is a former truck driver. I mean, this is just utterly amazing. And I think just goes to show where this nation is at. You know, there are reports that Senator-elect Durr only spent $153. The actual financial filings shows that he spent around like $2,500 versus Steve Sweeney, who spent over $300,000. And it's amazing to see that that actually happened. You know, some might use it as to argue whether you actually need to donate to politicians, which is a very, very valuable argument and interesting argument to make. But I want to point out two things. In this, Sweeney talks about it's a red wave. And this is the reason he conceded. He looked at the results. He talked about how this is, in his eyes, he looked at it as a fairly counted election. And because in his eyes, it's a fairly counted election, he has conceded. He accepts the results of how the people of New Jersey voted. And I think this is interesting. You know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, they cheated, even to get to this point. I haven't seen that. I think they tried, but there is no evidence on a mass scale that they were able to get away with it, because people were at the polls challenging them in areas where in the past they were able to get away with it. Especially in New Jersey and in Virginia. The Republicans did the right thing of what they should have done, of being at the polls, being the watchers, not just allowing Democrats to only be the watchers. And that's going to be the plan moving forward. It should have been before. Why it wasn't, I don't know why. But also another thing to point out is at a press conference, Durr talked about the reaction from Sweeney, and he said, look, he was complimentary of Sweeney, and he said, look, he had earned the right to take his time in conceding because he was the sitting president. And I think that's honor right there from Senator Legder to say, look, he has every right to want to defend his position and to make sure this election is, in his eyes, fair. He talked about how their political differences didn't extend to personal. And what a great cordial way to send him out. And I was trying to find it this morning. I wasn't able to. I believe it was on a Wednesday night, probably about a month ago. It might have been on a Sunday as well. We gave a prophetic word that there would be those, I'm trying to remember, there would be those in positions of authority, seats of authority, who you would never thought would lose their seat, but they would lose it. And this is one of those. Senator in New Jersey, who you would have never thought, the sitting president of the Senate in New Jersey, you would have never thought would have lost his seat in an election. But God was up to something. Like, you can't tell me a someone who's spent only $2,300 wins an election and God's not involved in this. And God is using anything. He's using the school board issues, the CRT, the fact that the current governor, who is now the reelected governor, has said that, got caught in a hot mic from Project Veritas, that he wasn't putting in mask mandates and all these other mandates until after the election, which goes to show other things now. And in that election, there's some nefarious acts going on, and it's still being decided there. So but with this, in a lot of cases, you see with new elected officials who don't really have a background. This guy's a newcomer. We want to pray for him and any other. You're going to see it now in this election and all these states and in the coming elections. People who don't have an understanding of the rules within Senate, Congress, at the state and federal level, and that causes problems for newcomers. And this is why people like a Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, who have been there in the long term, are in leadership and have in their political eyes more political efficiency because they are able to understand how proceedings go, how to pass a law, how to write a bill. So we want to intercede for these new elected officials to quickly gain an understanding of the rules in order to be effective in their new positions, because this is a monumental amount of knowledge that they're going to have to learn in order to be able to be effective in the positions that they are, rather than just being a puppet and a political figurehead that just communicates, which a lot of current newcomers are. And even they themselves need to gain this understanding to be able to pass bills and to be able to do it efficiently and effectively and correctly. It doesn't have to be a 2,500-page bill. It could be a 2-page bill, one-paragraph bill, but they still need to understand the proceedings and how to correctly do that in such manner. And this is one of those things we need to pray for, not only now, but in the days ahead, as you see more new politicians who have no background in this coming to the forefront. Okay, so we see that. Now, there is this whole Kyle Rittenhouse case. I do want to acknowledge this. It is the reason I don't really want to dive into that is because it's playing itself out. If we want to see the news on that, there's plenty of other articles out there. Because it's looking through the news this morning, it is filling the headlines, which I think is somewhat of a distraction from the realities of what is going on in this nation. But it is a referendum of justice on the injustices that were done. And it's sad to see that he had to be put in that position. Those who are attacking him, it's very sad to see that. Yes, especially with him crying yesterday. I mean, he was just overfilled with emotions and heart goes out to him. I mean, you got to think about it. He was there to defend the community that I believe his father lived in. I know they say he came from out of state. His mother lived out of state. His father lived in state. But I do want to say, look, we're aware of it, but here, our focus here is to pray for the office of the president. And so that's kind of why we're sticking to stories in and around more politicians, economic, and more so the White House and the office of the president, because that's what we want to we'll stand here and pray for. Now, with that, I want to point out a few things unbeknownst to us, but I think putting a different spin and perspective on this is you're seeing out of the White House and Biden and his officials that there's a double-mindedness coming from what is being publicly said versus what is being privately done behind the scenes. And this double-mindedness is causing frustration, chaos, if you want to say, with a lot of people, Democrats, Republicans alike. And what is also happening with this double-mindedness is God is using it, the redemptive purpose is to awaken people to the realities of the actual policies that they have been standing with in the past. And one of the major things you're seeing is around inflation, this complete double-mindedness. And Joe Biden yesterday talked about how he has been saying publicly, we've talked about this before, how he has asked the National Economic Council to work to reduce energy costs and the Federal Trade Commission to push back on market manipulation in the energy sector and a large push to reverse inflation. Those very statements coming from the president are very interesting. He also goes on to say in direct quote, inflation hurts Americans' pocketbooks and reversing this trend is a top priority for me. Very interesting that he would say that because a lot of the policy decisions that he's been doing privately have been causing this in effect. Now, another key double-minded and a very sad state for a politician to even be uttering publicly, not less to even consider. And this is not something that's new, but we want to point it out to understand what we're dealing with here when we're praying and we're understanding the battle that is going over in this nation is yesterday, President Biden was caught on a mic in Baltimore saying that Americans just don't understand the supply chain crisis. It's too sophisticated for them. And he went on to say, he says, you hear a lot of about the supply chains in the news, but frankly, not a lot of people have a clear understanding, whether they have a PhD or they didn't go to school about this, how the supply chain works. In simple terms, supply chain is just the journey that a product takes. Okay, like, great. So if it's that simple to be able to explain, it can't be so sophisticated that you have to have a PhD or whatever. And which would beg to differ of why you would put a mayor who has never had a budget, been able to deal with a budget of this magnitude in the position to be able to handle supply chain issues. But I digress. But what I want to point out is the sheer fortitude from this president to even consider saying this, that Americans just aren't clever enough, smart enough to be able to understand the crisis that is going on. Guess what? They understand it. We understand it because we see it at the grocery store. We see it in what we're having to spend on certain things because things are stuck at the ports. Because of the mandates and et cetera and et cetera. But I want to point this out is there is a graphic here. I'm going to try to blow it up. It that shows about inflation from October of 2020 to October of 2021. Basic things that make up the CPI. Not everything in here everybody buys, but it just shows some of the things that are bought in this economy. Bacon is up 20%. Steak is up 24%. I would say that's actually a low number because I've seen steak is really expensive right now. I always check when I go to the grocery store what's meat cost, and it's Man, it's ridiculous right now. Here in North Carolina, cereal is up 4.5%. Fuel, obviously everybody's been seeing that, up almost 60%. Eggs up 11%, almost 12%. Furniture 12%, laundry equipment 15%. Okay, not everybody's going to buy that. Used cars up 26%. I feel like that's a little, it's actually a little bit higher. Really depending on where you buy it, you might be able to find a deal here and there. But in reality, to me, they're up higher because I'm looking to buy an SUV, and they're just, they're $10,000-$15,000 more than what they're actually worth. And I get people trying to make money, but like at the end of the day, it's not a time in my eyes to be able to buy a used car. And sporting goods are up almost 9%, 8.7%. So we see this scenario. And to say that Americans don't understand the supply chain crisis is very, very ignorant. And the reason I bring this up and the reason I want to talk about this is because if we look back at history, even politicians such as FDR, who wanted to get Americans on the government dime, understood that you couldn't try to play God with them. You had to intellectually persuade them to want to basically give up their rights and allow the government to be able to do it. And FDR said those very things. But now we've seen politicians shift and say, well, they're just too dumb. We need to decide for them. And it's still a play of those who are in power are trying to use that power for their own personal good and not for the welfare of this nation. They sometimes say it, but in reality, it's not. Now, I also want to point out, in direct contradiction to the to what is really going on in this nation, Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, is downplaying the concerns in an interview yesterday about the potential of inflation reaching the 1970s level, and that the Federal Reserve will more than likely step in to prevent that from happening. And again, this is a politician who thinks that they can play God and they can control everything. Even in this type of market where we have somewhat of a government overreach, there is still a system of free market that is at play here. And because of the policy decisions by the federal government right now, it is causing this. And she talks about how eventually she expects inflation to return to acceptable levels of roughly 2% by 2022. And she completely downplays this. The Federal Reserve won't permit a return to double-digit inflation levels seen in the 1970s when Americans experienced nationwide gas shortages and other economic hardships in aftermath of the Vietnam War, which, okay, we don't see gas shortages now. But with the fact that you have this administration who has shut down the Keystone Pipeline, is considering shutting down another pipeline, and is preventing oil and gas leases to be allowed for drilling in this nation, it's very interesting. And she talks about how this is very, very, very key here. And she says monetary policy would have a role to play if this turns out to be something that's endemic. In the 1970s, we saw supply chain shocks turn themselves into endemic inflation. Okay. Would you say a supply chain shock where literally goods are sitting at the ports is a problem right now? I would. Wage increases. Companies are increasing wages to be able to convince people to come back to work because of government stimulus via welfare of unemployment checks. That is still continuing to go on to this day because the money that was given to the states is now finally continuing to be paid out. You're seeing that at the local levels. Price increases as a consequence because of the supply chain shortages, because of the increased wages, you're having increased prices. And this was in the 70s. This is what caused the hyperinflation. And so she's saying, well, we're not going to get there because we don't have those same scenarios. We have those same scenarios in the 1970s. And he says, we're not seeing that now. She says, we're not seeing that now. We are absolutely seeing those exact same things. And she says, I don't believe it will reach the inflation of the 1970s. But if that were the case, aha, the double-mindedness, the Federal Reserve would have a role to play to keep it under control. I want to point this out because we need to understand the realities of how this administration is thinking on these issues. They're playing both sides. They're saying, oh, we're not going to get there because we're these scenarios of inflation, wage increases, and increased prices. That's not the case now, but it is. And if this causes that of continued inflation of the long term, then the Federal Reserve will step in and we'll fix it all. And that's her whole economic philosophy of government intervention to be able to control the monetary policy and the money supply and the flow of the economy, which it didn't work out when she was Federal Reserve chair. It hasn't worked for Ben Bernanke, Alan Greenspan, anybody else who sat in those chairs who caused problems in this nation via the monetary policy. And what's happening now through all of this, of the double-mindedness that we're seeing, is that people are being awakened, and more so Democrats themselves. And I want to point this story out because this one's very key. Is a lot of the policies that Democrats are standing for now, former Democrat presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard stood for and pushed for when she was running. And now, for whatever's been happening, she's realizing the realities of some of the policy decisions that are being pushed and how it's actually worsening inflation rates and hurting the American public. And she said in remarks towards the news of the inflation that came out is that the reality that is what is happening right now is that Democrats are pushing. We have inflation and they're pushing for more spending, more taxing, which is not the case. She said, but the reality is that this bill is only going to make the problem worse. Our government is already too powerful. It is already too bloated. And what this bill is going to do is make inflation work. It's going to increase the national debt. It's going to make things harder for small businesses. And ultimately, it's going to make people more dependent upon a government that already is encroaching too much in almost every part of our lives. So I think it's more important to actually start to look at how do we actually solve the real problems here rather than the direction they're taking it, which is, hey, let's just throw more money at it and think the government is going to be the answer to everything when we know for a fact that it is not. The reason this is huge, you could consider her a moderate Democrat. And when we talk to people, when we pray with people, pray for this. It is, I don't always agree with everything Tulsi Gabbard says and everything she stands for. But if this is a bridge to build with those who are of a different political persuasion, whether they are Christian or an atheist, she would be able to build a bridge and use people to awaken to the realities of the policy decisions that are happening in this administration. And so the reason I bring her up is because she, in the past, has agreed with some of these policy decisions, thought they would work, and reality is seeing that they are not working. And we have the prophetic that those in the enemy's camp will be healed, delivered, and basically get saved and join the side of biblical moral values. And this is happening. People are being awakened. So I share that to give hope and faith in that. And then lastly, before I give a couple prayer points, is that you're seeing Joe Manchin continue to stand his ground on this Build Back Better plan, the reconciliation process. Now, knowing that he is standing, he understands that because of the delays that happened a couple months ago, December is the deadline for this Congress to be able to pass the reconciliation bill through It is December. If they don't pass it in December, then they have to start a whole new budget. They also have to deal with the fact that the national the national budget actually needs to be passed for the coming year rather than just temporarily extended, kicking the can down the road. And then you also have the issue of raising the debt ceiling or not. He's understanding that because of the record inflation, he's understanding that this is not transitory from one presidency to the other, that this is a long-term issue and it's getting worse, and we need to deal with other things rather than just continuing to pass more bills, tax Americans harder, which in an economic standpoint of view doesn't make any sense if you're trying to get the nation out of a hyperinflation, which we are getting towards, no matter despite what this current presidency is considering. So we want to continue with this. Is be thankful for people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, but we want to continue to pray for them. Pray that they are able to stand their ground in the days ahead. And ultimately, we want to, this is our final prayer point, repent for the politicians who are not seeking the welfare of this nation. Biblical principle in Jeremiah 29:7. And intercede for all political leaders on both sides to stand up against this crippling spending agenda that we have prophetic on, and to show that if we go down this road, it will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations. And so there is hope in this season that what looks like a bleak outcome, there is a redemptive purpose for all of this, is to awaken the hearts and minds of men to what has been going on in this nation for a long time, and to get us back to a nation that understands that God is the creator of the universe, that this nation has a destiny to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations, and the only thing that it will take is a revival. Dr. Michael Brown just released a book called Revival or We Die. And it's very interesting, is despite his pleas that, oh, nothing's going to happen if this president were to get elected, now he's realizing that, oh, no, we need God to come. Obviously, yes, no matter who's in office, they're not to be made idols, and that's going to be our problem solver. Only God can solve our problems. But at the end of the day, we're called to be a lighthouse to the nations, specifically for America, but as biblical believers, also we're called to disciple the nations. And through that, here in America, because of how the laws are made, we are given a voice via the political system. And we need to rise and take that stand, given the fact that on today, of all days, Veterans Day, as we honor those who have served and sacrificed for our freedoms, to continue to stand on the principles that God has allowed us to have in this nation. So with that, I thank you, those who watch and listen via replay and via podcast. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, leave a 5-star review via the podcast to help us spread this news, spread the news, and allow other intercessors to join in and pray with us. Because ultimately our goal is that souls will be saved and that we reach the destiny that God has for this nation of being a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So thank you all. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and I will see you guys again tomorrow to close out the week. Have a good one.